Hey there, where have you been? Welcome to the No Jet Stress podcast, the show that helps you maintain optimal health and peak performance as a road warrior, no matter how much you travel. I'm your host, Christopher Babiodi, traveler wellness advocate, nutritional therapist, author, and ex-flight attendant of 20 years at British Airways, one of the UK's largest airline. In this episode, we're going to look at business travel as a lifestyle. We're going to cover the toll of business travel on the asset, and that would be you. We're going to look at the work-life balance equation, and we're going to look at how to set up and live according to someone who lives life on the road. We're going to cover some frameworks that are going to help you chunk all of this down into very specific areas that enable you to make it work, whatever type of business traveler you are. So let's get started. Business travel is a lifestyle. Don't get it twisted. Now, I know it's not a lifestyle for every single business traveler out there, but what I've maintained all along is the idea that if you manage to get a worthwhile solution for the most intensive road warrior, anyone else who flies less frequently will be able to find tools within that solution that help them get a better work-life balance, manage jet lag, beat jet lag, help them to be more productive and successful and get better trip outcomes. So, with that said, this is framed particularly for those who are quite intensive travelers, and everyone else can take their cue from them. Stated categorically, the problem with business travel is the toll that it takes on the asset, and that asset is you, because you then become ineffective or less effective at delivering the results that you want for your organization and for your personal needs to advance your career or whatever it is that you're traveling for. Therefore, there's less trip success. Less trip success means everybody loses. So, what we want to do is understand the problem from this perspective. I'm sorry for getting a bit bare-knuckled and calling you an asset. I know you're a person, but in the greater scheme of things, you are there to help an organization produce a product or your own organization produce a product. And therefore, having an understanding that you are a producing asset that can either depreciate or accrue value is vitally important to looking at ways that we want to get a competitive advantage and make sure that we are an appreciating value. As such, assets we are. Whatever trip success metrics you like to use, we have to keep score on two separate balance sheets. Balance sheets for the business and the balance sheet of your own personal journey within travel. And that can be something as objective as the number of deals done or the introductions made, all those things that facilitate the objective of the business that you're actually out there doing. At the same time, there's a personal balance sheet. And this could be, for example, measured in how much health you have, how much joy traveling still brings you, how much burnout you avoid, how much energy and memories and stories you are able to make while you're on the road. In my books, it's important to be able to keep two balance sheets. And these are the two that I would start with. Therefore, at this moment in time, taking a look at the assets and the liabilities that you have in that context would be a great starting point. To give us some kind of idea of what we're looking at here, from a health perspective at least, I turn to a 2017 paper called The Darker Side of Hypermobility by Scott Cohen at the University of Surrey and a Scandinavian hospitality school. And their research showed that people who are hypermobile, which does include a subset of people like business travelers, road warriors, tend to burn out. And that burnout, while it is glamorized in the context of travel and seeing places and, you know, being with the in crowd, it has consequences that run far deeper than just what we see on the surface to deteriorating health, burnout, diabetes, isolation, weight gain, and things of that nature. So that being our starting point, we want to recognize that this toll is real and things have gotten a hell of a lot worse since this paper came out in 2017. And we are looking or scrambling for tools to make sure that we can make up the shortfall and have an accruing asset instead of a depreciating one. Up until now, attempts to manage the traveler and their wellness and the success of the trips that they do have been pretty much inconsistent, scattershot, or without a solid procedure or system. And this harms everyone involved in getting the outcomes previously described. I think part of that problem is the fact that we tend to view business travel just as business travel and not as a lifestyle. And the more we can come round to the idea of understanding it in the context of it being the lifestyle that the traveler has, the more we can fashion solutions that incorporate that and seamlessly work for both the organization and the traveler. This requires a system and some frameworks at the very least to get started, and it requires the buy-in of all stakeholders involved in seeing successful outcomes. So very briefly, let me give this idea some context here. If you spend half of the year out of the country, if you are constantly packing, unpacking and repacking, changing winter clothes, summer clothes, over and over and over again, and the people at the airport know you personally by name, then you're probably a really frequent traveler. And as such, that is what defines the lifestyle that you have. And if that's the case, then why not put that at the center of how you live your life, as unpleasant as that might sound to begin with, and plan things outside of that, because that is how you're going to make it mesh, and you're going to be able to plan ahead to make sure that you don't miss all of those things in your social life that are important, or the family life that you're trying to build. You can make those decisions by putting business travel as a lifestyle at the center of the way you view the way you go about doing business and living your, in quotes, lifestyle. So how did we get here? Well, we could start with the work-life balance equation. And I hear you saying already, hey Chris, but you know, I don't just want to exist for my work. Well, I don't really think anyone does, because work is a means to some kind of end, at least for the traveler. And that's the traveler side of the balance sheet. And as such, there's a reason that you do what you do. And that is where the work-life balance comes into the equation. Whatever it is that it is for you is fine. The idea is you need to work it on both sides of the equation, not one at the expense of the other. And we can't forget that work-life balance has become more prominent in the workplace amongst travellers because of the prevalence of digital technology and its ability to allow work or anything else to invade anywhere else we might be in the world. So the idea that we're constantly fending for our work-life balance is very real, and it means that it's pushed to the forefront for you as a traveller in the context of whatever is meaningful to you. If you take the message that business travel is your lifestyle, the question then becomes, how do you set up your lifestyle so that it works for you? A simple way to do that, in my view, is to chunk it three ways into energy, work, and relationships. Energy, work, and relationships. Working with these three, you can help advance your work-life balance in a better, more productive and consistent way. Before we can get to the juiciness of the work and relationship side of what we're focusing on here, we have to make sure we have the energy piece in place. Why? Because the quality of our energy is going to drive the quality of results we get in the work and relationship areas we're focusing on here. So that's really important to understand. When it comes to energy then, the framework we want to run our energy on is built around chronobiology. Exercise to sync your energy with your body clock. Eat to sync your energy with your body clock. And sleeping well in tune with your body clock are the three things that you must master in order to show up consistently as a business traveler road warrior with the energy that you desire to run your work and your relationships. When I say exercise to sync your energy to your body clock, what I actually mean is you can find out quite easily these days where you are in terms of your chronobiology. The best times that work for you to be productive, to exercise, to sleep, how long for, and things of that nature. And because these things are fundamental to you and individual to you, they drive your energy. And therefore, leveraging the work you do via the best times to do them from your chronobiology will give you an insight into when is the best time to be energetic and exercise, because that drives your body clock. When is the best time to eat, because also that drives your body clock. And also, when is the best time to sleep, because that drives your body clock, while at the same time helping you wake up rested with the energy that you need for your next day's work or activity, whatever that may be. So it's really important to have that as a way to manage your energy. Once you have that in place and you play with that a little, you might find that you are able to manipulate it to work specifically to certain situations. But that notwithstanding, the whole idea is you know what track you're running on and you consistently run on that track because it gives you the best results in terms of your work and your relationships. Moving on to your work, the frame with which to approach this is one whereby you have a system for managing travel stress. You have a system for managing jet lag. You have a system for managing your productivity. And you turn to that system time and again, each and every time you travel for work or even on leisure, if you choose, and you implement the system. And because it's something that works well with you, it's second nature and it yields results consistently. Now, I am biased here. I'm a proponent of the farewell system, which is something that I talk to clients about. But before we actually get to that as a system to use to manage jet lag, I'd like to dig into a couple of distinctions that I think are important to understand when working with systems and making frameworks or whatever other tools, principles, or fundamentals you want to put in place to help you manage your business traveler work life. And the one that I'm going to look to initially is a distinction between being jet lagged and jet stressed. And I say that specifically like that because they are two different things. Jet lag is what somebody who is an very infrequent traveler might get, because yes, they are jet lagged. When they arrive home, if they do nothing else in time, even though they have to put up with the inconveniences of waking up at the wrong times or not having the energy during the day and sleeping on the wrong times, even though they have to put up with all of that, in time, if they do nothing else, eventually their body clock will kick in and they will adapt to the environment they're in, and they will find themselves at some point back on their own rhythm. Jet stress, on the other hand, is what business travelers get, and it is distinct from jet lag. And the reason it is distinct from jet lag is because jet lag is acute, while jet stress is chronically acute. And what I mean is, The reason, or part of the reason, or some of the reasons for the travel friction that business travelers experience comes from the idea that they are not able to recuperate before they go out on their next trip. They don't have long enough a period to recover. That accumulation of not having a long enough a period to recover is what eventually wears them down, makes for less trip success, more burnout, and less of the types of outcomes they want in their work and relationships. So that distinction is one thing that I would look to when looking at the idea of building an understanding of the type of systems that you might want to put in place to help you manage work for travel. Now, with that distinction, we then can do away with all the other quick fix jet lag tools that people talk about or use, and understand that as we're talking about business travel as a lifestyle, we want to put in place solutions that manage this aspect of the challenge in a lifestyle perspective. Any solution that does not meet that can automatically be discarded because you, as a road warrior, a business traveler, have business travel as a lifestyle. It makes total sense that therefore you want to be in it for the long term, and solutions that you pick have to cater for the long term. Now, I talk about the Farewell system as the system of choice that I use when I think of working with clients who want to manage their travel jet lag as such. But even if it's not the system of choice that someone else would use, three fundamentals I think are important for anyone who's a business traveler. And that is understanding the environment, whether that be the environment on the plane or the environment they're working in or their environment at home, and how it contributes or takes away from the energy they have. The ability to entrain, which is something that everyone needs to hone, if you like, when you're constantly getting on and off a plane, and also the ability to acclimatize, because it's a constant in the life of a business traveler. So environment, entrainment, and acclimatization should be the fundamental bedrock pieces that go into any system of managing business travel for road warriors. If these are now in place, as they should be, and we are constantly working with our energy framework to make sure we have the energy, it now becomes easier to choose our most productive times and get our best work done. Whatever system it is that you might use, your ability to access that system and be productive as well as creative is enhanced by the fact that, for all intents and purposes, you are in your element. You are managing to stay within the borders of how you normally operate when you're at your best or as close to it as you can get. And therefore, you automatically become more productive and more creative even while on business travel. The third of our frameworks to do with relationships is around the quality of the connections that we're able to make and the time we're able to spend in those relationships. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be always face-to-face. However, face-to-face is where the juice lies, so to speak. But at the same time, making sure that we have professional and personal support groups for the fact that we are often away on travel is important. But also, you know, having that focus outside of the work we do or the travel that we're undertaking is also important. And therefore, quality connections and time become a framework with which to look at the relationships you are cultivating and managing. Three simple things that I would advise here would be to set time aside routinely. And that's time aside for those relationships you want to build. And take time out from those relationships that are no longer serving you and the person in that relationship. Know when to quit. Another that I've found particularly useful in my personal life is knowing when not to talk shop. Not talking shop, you know, is quite valuable in and of itself. And it's something that we should sometimes consider, because otherwise we sound like a broken record if we're always just going on about work. Life on the road as a business traveller can be quite lonely. And as such, cultivating the habit of looking outside of one's own immediate concerns is a useful one to have. And with that in mind, the phrase that I tend to use is kind of like being a global citizen and being able to pass on the kindness or the gifts or the knowledge or the talent that we might be in possession of to a fellow traveler along the way, enriching someone else's life through that practice. It's about caring about things other than ourselves and outside our direct sphere of influence. I think this is one way to help combat the epidemic of mental health issues that exist within business travel. And on top of that, a lovely little wrinkle I found from interviewing Roman at Jack and Ferdy is the idea of looking for stories when you travel. If you look for stories, or you look to create stories from the interactions that you have with strangers and people you travel to meet, or per happenstance meet on business travel, that is enriching. That's enriching for you because it's something you take away and abides with you always. And it's also enriching for them. And it helps you in this idea of building quality connections in your relationships. And this is something that I think can help quite a lot of us enjoy our travel more, as well as have a decent outlook when it comes to our mental health and making sure it's on an even keel. And that is a quick look at business travel as a lifestyle, the things that we can put in place, the frameworks that we can put in place to help us manage it around our energy, work, and relationships. In putting together this podcast, in this episode, I have referenced The Darker Side of Hypermobility by Scott Cohen from the University of Surrey, AL. Circadian Code by Dr. Sachin Panda of the Salk Institute. Eric Bailey at Microsoft, who's the Global Director of Travel and Devices for Microsoft. And stories from my podcast with Roman Abonnel of Jack and Ferdy. I will reference these in the show notes for anyone who wants to dig in a bit deeper into how to put these together to help themselves manage business travel as a lifestyle. Until next time, wherever you go, farewell.